Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing else comes close.
The second career attempt for Louis Crevier, the big defenseman, sent out there by Jeff Blasher. And on Vasilevsky, the backhand scores! The Hawks have the lead.
Talk about making it look smooth and easy. Guy comes down with not a lot of experience going against one of the most experienced goaltenders, and he just puts it, elevates. That's the key. When you've got the flexibility and the size of a Vasilevsky, when you get it moving post to post, you've got to elevate that puck.
Shootouts matter. That was the deal breaker right there. Louis Crevier, part of a massive transaction last night between your Buffalo Sabres and the Chicago Blackhawks. Welcome in on Sabres Live. Special day as we get closer to the draft, which is Friday night. Cam Robinson from Elite Prospects going to join us in studio shortly.
This should be fun.
Oh, my gosh.
I think Elite Prospect is such a resource for... I just think of like my kid when he first got his name into Elite Prospect, right? And everybody plays youth hockey, but then... Yeah. Getting to follow them through juniors and college and pros and all of that. Huge resource. Talking to Cam is going to be awesome.
It is, but it's amazing how our focus and conversations with draft insiders has changed over the last 2 weeks, going from pick 27 to 20 to number 4. So yes. Fresh takes all around today and a fresh Sabres Live poll for you. After Byram and Greenway head to Chicago last night, the Sabres get the 4th pick overall and a 45th and Crevier. And now the question is... What should the Sabres do with their first round picks? Draft both at numbers 4 and 20. Draft 4 and trade number 20. Trade number 4 and draft number 20. Or trade them both.
And I right love now, that we have 20% that says trade them both. Like, I love that crowd of trade. But I think most people are saying draft 4, trade 20. Basically, you have the best of the two picks to draft, and then you trade the other one. I'm on the other side. I'm saying trade 4, draft 20, because I think you can get a much better package and a much better player, including the 4th pick. And Jarmo's aggressive. I'm telling you, what we've seen now from Jarmo Kekalainen at the trade deadline, trying to get Colton Pareko, getting Logan Stanley and Shen and Sam Carrick, and then getting the moves going in the summer so far.
Kessel ring last week
to go from 27 to 20. Now you move Byram and Greenway. I love the trade. I mean, I think that Bo Byram was a fantastic player. I think that Jordan Greenway, who's a great, great guy in the locker room, unfortunately, the injuries and...
2 years of injuries. When you go back to his first full year in Buffalo, Jordan gave this team just about everything you were expecting after you made that deal with Minnesota. It has gone off the rails physically and well-documented for him, and he's been so open about him not being where he needed to be. And yet...
Fantastic guy.
And so, too, is Byram. And this is the challenge. Like, again, if you were to imagine... Back in the day when this transaction happened and you're picking him up for Casey Mittelstadt, and then now looking at what Byram was a part of in the trade hall and stuff like that, it's hard to imagine that you could have gotten more out of Bo Byram in his time here in Buffalo than what he gave and how his stock elevated as a member of the Sabres, not to mention how good of a guy he is around all age groups within this room. So it's a huge loss. It's a big pickup for the Chicago Blackhawks, but the currency obtained within the deal sets themselves up for what they clearly, under this general manager, want to do.
Yeah, so number one with Bo Byram, I mean, great in the locker room. Great with us. He's been on Sabres Live multiple times. Great conversation. Love to discuss. We had him in the playoffs, right? And talking about playing against Newhook and Montreal and everything. Awesome. On the ice, fantastic. Was one of those three defensemen with 40 or more points this year with Dahlin and Samuelson. First time that in the history of the Sabres that three defensemen had 40 or more points. That was fantastic. What he did for Owen Power, the partner that he was for Owen Power and the season that Power had. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, Owen Power, that top four, this is one of the best top four in the NHL. Now I think that you move on from Bo Byram because he probably wanted a bigger role, wanted to, you know, his agent said didn't want to sign long-term, everything. I get that, right? He was behind Kale McCarr and Devontae's in Colorado. He's behind Rasmus Dahlin, Owen Power, and Matthias Samuelson, whatever, in Buffalo. He wants to be a number one. He wants to play the power play. He wants to make $12 million a year, maybe on his next deal.
Like probably,
10, but, yeah. But, you know, I mean, who knows? Chicago could give him $17 million a year with the way that they're doing business right now. Who knows, right? So I get that. But I think that Jarmo Kekalainen, at the right moment, struck the right deal. Mm-hmm. Where a team like Chicago that probably has to take in a little bit of salary to get to the floor and to make sure that they have a player like Jordan Greenway for his last year of his deal, you shed that salary, you shed the $6 million of Byram, you acquire a fourth overall pick, you acquire a second-round pick, which we had Jerry Fortin yesterday. He talked about, we don't have a second and a third this year. Well, now you have a second. So...
and a high one at that.
A 45th overall, that's a really good... So, no, you have two firsts and a second when you had only a first and no second, no third.
Yep.
And Louis Crevier, let me just say this. This is a player that when I watched Chicago, I was always watching that defenseman.
Yeah.
He stands out because of his size, but he has great skills. He made some mistakes? Yes. You watch him sometimes, you're like, oh, he made a mistake. Why? Because Chicago used him in a situation that maybe he's not ever going to be put in Buffalo right now because of Dahlin and Samuelson. He led the team in points in by defensemen. That's how he was able to stand out for himself in his first full season in Chicago.
Yeah, it's, to me, a very peculiar move from the Hawks to include him in the deal. Simply because they have not, clearly, this is why they needed Byram, they have not established a young defense core on this team. And because Crevier still, and basically same age as Byram, because Crevier still fits into that profile, I'm a little surprised they would, you know, quote unquote, let him go because there don't seem to be many guarantees with the other young defensemen that they already have in-house. So in a perfect world, if I'm the Hawks GM, I would be like trying to continue to have Crevier battle all the others for a place within that group of six. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's a steal for
and
the save.
And he's $900,000 this year, which you have the Jeff Skinner cap hit that you have to take this year.
Yes, it's a steal for the Sabres because it's more than a serviceable defenseman. He might end up being a top four based
on... He plays right with power playing left. Maybe that's how you have it.
Who knows how it's going to fall, but it's like the second rounder, it's a major extra piece added by Jarmo Kekalainen, who, by the way, will be addressing the media after our show is done around the top of the hour at 1 o'clock. So make sure you stay with Sabres.com and our Sabres social channels to tune in for Jarmo's presser on the heels of this massive deal. You know, the floodgates across the NHL opened 8 days ago when Philly and Toronto did the Joe Wall deal, and it has been nonstop since. And while we don't always openly talk about our age, trust me when I'm say, I'm old enough to tell you with confidence, there has never been a 8-day window or even 10-day window leading into an NHL draft with this much trade activity in the history of the draft. It's never been like this. Yeah. We hoped that it would be based on the fact
that always hope that
there's not,
be.
But this year especially, because there's not much happening free agency when
this
July 1st rolls around.
Deadline week.
That's the thing. So this has been unprecedented, which means as production continues in arena right now, the building of the draft stage and all of it, the buzz is unprecedented heading into this draft, and we still don't know.
Oh, by the way, Crevier's from Quebec City. He's right down the street from
guy.
Me, so he's my guy.
He's your guy.
So he's coming on the show as soon as he's in town, and we're going to get him to talk about, you know, if he sees any of my statues around town, and what maybe it's more my brother's statues or whatnot. But and
he's more your brother's size.
He's probably more my brother's size. He's probably... they can talk. My brother's 6'7", he's 6'8", whatever. But here's the thing. Now, because of the poll, go and answer the poll. I want to see what people want. Do they want both picks to be made, 4 and 20? Which one to trade? Trade them both. Go on Sabres Live on X and answer the poll. I want to see what people want.
Okay.
But the next move is what I'm interested in, is Jarmo Kekalainen's got moves coming. I can tell you, there's moves coming up.
The Sabres, as you look at the Sabres Live poll and answer that for Marty and for our collective benefit, Buffalo now has $21.2 million in cap space.
Yes.
They need to get Benson done. They presumably want to get Krebs done. I'm sure they would like to get Malenstein done as well. And then there's the Alex Tuck component to all of this, who is trending towards free agency on July 1. And even with the unloading of dollars last night to Chicago, Chris Johnston was quick to report, even though Buffalo's freed up this space after the Byram trade, early sense is it won't change the direction of talks with pending UFA Alex Tuck. But Marty, what it does do is clearly create a window that people can look into and say, if they really want to do Tuck, they can probably still do it. And if they want to use this money elsewhere, where might they be looking?
So, okay, number one on Tuck. Yes, Chris Johnston posted that yesterday. I talked to Dave Pagnotta, who was on the show, you know, a week ago, and we talked about Tuck and reaffirmed that basically the same thing. Tuck is going to market. And why is Tuck going to go to market on July 1? And I believe that to be true is because now there is seven teams, and there's going to be more, that are not even at the floor of what the cap will be next year. There is the Chicago's and the San Jose's and whatnot. That could say to Alex Tuck, we will give you $11.5 million. We will give you 12 maybe. That would be crazy, but I think
I don't think it's crazy anymore.
I don't think that Alex Tuck has the potential to make $2 to $3 million more elsewhere than
a year
than he would in Buffalo.
His now next contract could end up being at least $20 million, at least
over
$20 million more in total value than what it would have been last summer.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Easily.
And look, I get that the Sabres would like to have Alex Tuck. He's a big part of it. We talked to Jerry Fortin yesterday, assistant general manager. A guy like Alex Tuck is a big part of why we made the playoffs this year and how we were able to rebuild and all of that. I get it. But now I'm looking at the player and saying, hey, at the end of the day, over 7 years, I can make maybe $20 million more. Like, I mean, he was underpaid the last 7 years. He was on a bargain contract at not even $5 million. He's going to make it up. Good for you, Alex. I love it. That's what it's about. You earned that right. I don't think he's in Buffalo. Now, the Sabres, with the 4th overall pick or the 20th overall pick and some of the players that they have, look, they do have players that may be in play. Mm-hmm. And I think that everybody's talking about Connor Hellebuck. I think there's a legitimate way for the Sabres to make a trade that would be a great value of Connor Hellebuck for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yep.
And look, Hellebuck, I had somebody gas station this morning at the stop, a fellow Craig Byrne member who was going out to play golf and whatever. And he's like, I'm a little worried about Connor Hellebuck. I'm like, the thing with Connor Hellebuck, and I get the age, and look, but he's only $8.5 million. He's not 11, 12 like Shesterkin and some of the goalies that are going to sign. And he's a very economical type goaltender. Mm-hmm. He's body positioning, his angles, his size. And I think you, and I don't want to say this in a bad way, but Connor Hellebuck makes you now, if you were to make that, saying, okay, let's play you, Florida Panthers. Mm-hmm. Let's play you, Carolina Hurricanes, because we have that guy that can steal you a couple of games in the series and win you that series.
Much more on Hellebuck and everything else Buffalo has done. Their current position in the draft at number 4, Cam Robinson from Elite Prospects, is coming up here on Sabres Live. Sabres are super proud to be hosting the 26th NHL Draft this week. And, of course, there's FanFest and Ticketmaster Alumni Plaza on both Friday and Saturday. Music, hockey games, prospect, red carpet, and more. Visit sabres.com/draft to get all the information. And we'll see you here inside and outside of KeyBank Center beginning on Friday night. Cam Robinson has joined the show. We have been adding to our stable of draft experts this year with the special nature of hosting the draft. Yep. And Cam comes with a title that is elite as he represents Elite Prospects. Mr. Everything and Beyond, what is it, man?
Yeah, it's a running joke in Vancouver because my title is such a mouthful, so they just call me the director of everything. I'm not sure how HQ probably appreciates that back in Sweden, but we'll roll with it anyways. Eh?
Is this a negotiating ploy to say, I do everything? But when we look at Elite Prospect, obviously there's a lot there. So what are some of the responsibilities that you have within the scouting, within the sites, within everything that happens on that platform.
Yeah, I certainly don't do everything at Elite Prospects. It is a big staff, and it is a very bright staff for sure. So, you know, I'm one of the senior crossover scouts, so I do a lot of scouting. My job is kind of, it's evolved over the years, and so I do a lot of marketing and social media and networking and schmoozing and trying to break trades and stories like that. And obviously the draft is the biggest time of year for us. So.
Amazing. Last night you were pretty active on social. Take us through just, you know, what you were looking at as far and feeling, obviously, as we all are, with the activity that's across the league. You didn't think that GMs would be done for the day after all the activity last night, and that you believe Buffalo does in fact have more irons in the fire after the Byram deal was culminated.
Yeah, so I was 30,000 feet in the air for the majority of all that action, which was thank goodness for Wi-Fi on planes these days, right? Yep. That was something else. That was a pretty special day. I do think the Sabres still have some things that they're looking to get done. I think that there are a number of teams. I had one executive tell me, and I tweeted that out there too, that he's like, I'm afraid my phone's going to start smoking here right now. And that was just a couple of trades in. And so yes, he was right that you know, the market is about as active as we've ever seen it. And it's great, I think, for Buffalo hosting to now have a couple of first round picks and to be involved in these discussions to potentially make a big move. It's great
to be in the top five, which is so rare because that top five almost never moves. Never. Hence why it's always lottery protected in any of these trades that we usually see. So you added to that post at Hockey Robinson by suggesting that you think the Sabres will hold on to this number four right now?
Yeah, I had a little nugget of information land across my lap there on the plane that, you know, they're gonna sit down and they're really gonna dig into that, obviously today and tomorrow, into that pick. I think that the scouting staff is really excited to have an opportunity to select in the top five again, hosting the draft and being able to step up at number four. But now that's set. Nothing is secure in this world, right? Like if someone makes them an offer for a big name player that can really move the needle, I'm sure that they will consider moving that pick. But as it stands right now, I think right now the first choice is to keep it.
Is the only moving the needle type player Connor Hellebuck when it comes to the fourth overall pick? Because at 20 overall, you can open up a lot more type of players, maybe defensemen, maybe forward. You know, there's a lot more opportunity, but the number four overall, is that just in a Connor Hellebuck potential transaction that you would see that move?
Well, here's the thing about goaltenders, right? The value is rarely as high as we think it is on the trade market. Now, a guy like Connor Hellebuck is a special case because he's such a special goaltender. So would you move that pick for Connor Hellebuck? I think a lot of people would. I'm not sure if the Sabres would. I think that there's other names out there. Like we've heard the big fish, right? Matthew Nyes, Dylan Larkin. I'm not sure if he would waive to come here or not. You know, Jason Robertson's name's been out there. So there is going to be some other names that are floating around out there that could warrant, as we just saw, right, like Bo Byram landed the fourth overall pick. So I think if you're going to flip it again, Alexander Nikishin out of Carolina is now rumored to be on the block too. So I think there's some big names that could fit that bill if they wanted to go that route. But again, like you mentioned, like moving number 20 could still get you an asset that could help you move forward immediately too.
What a run it's been after we mentioned the Wall trade last week with Philadelphia and Toronto and Samuskevich going from Florida to Seattle, which then allowed the Panthers to consummate the deal to get Brady Tkachuk out of Ottawa and Darren Radish going from Tampa to Toronto. And even beyond, obviously, yesterday.
Are we going to see Jordan Kyrou at all in this show? I'm still getting there.
You know, I tend to prioritize things my way sometimes. But, yes. You know, Simone Nemitz adds to the Flames' young blue line in a big deal with New Jersey. William Eklund ends up being something the Senators acquire as an attempt to fill in, you know, the space vacated by their captain. It's a good deal, presumably for Ottawa, but it nets San Jose another first round pick. The Kyrou deal was super interesting because the Blues get out from under this contract if they really wanted to. They get a pretty good, serviceable young player in Connor McMichael, who dipped last year after the career year the year before. But Cam, the Blues have four first round picks now. Like, to me, this is one of the biggest stories with a team that was most talked about in this market and many others at the trade deadline. Now they've got a new general manager in Steen and all these assets. Which way are the Blues going, both for this current season to come and beyond?
Well, I think they're taking a long-term view here, but I also think Steen is going to look to put his mark on the team. And so with four first-round picks, I do think that they're involved in a lot of things here. I've heard them connected to Elias Pettersson out of Vancouver, which I think is a really interesting buy-low opportunity for a number of teams there if they want to take a swing on a player like him. we know now that it seems like Robert Thomas will not be moving, which makes a lot of sense, right, if you're taking a long-term view on them. But I do think that they'll be heavily involved in trying to get a big-name piece here, too. And you have to imagine Colton Parayko is probably going to be moving as well, too. So they'll probably, Steen will have his hands busy here.
Boy, San Jose has to. If Parayko is moving and the money and everything, and you just look at the optics of the Sharks right now, like they've got to be a team. And Anaheim, quite frankly, too, because they're at $39 million in cap space also.
Anybody over 30 years old in St. Louis, like Buchnevich, Fowler, Parayko, like Robert Thomas is 26, Holloway's 25. You've got Snuggerud, you got Dylan Holloway, you got on defense, you got Mayu, you just picked up. You've got Broberg, you've got younger piece. But okay, so it's funny because we've talked to a draft expert and you've studied the draft and there's a couple of twins, right? The Liam and Marcus Rook or whatnot. And now a lot of people are thinking they're going to go somewhere together, but 14 and 15, I believe St. Louis has. That's too early to get the Twins. Mm-hmm. Could they move back in the draft but get something in return? Like, is St. Louis going to be active, or will they pick those guys moving forward? Jordan Binnington could be on the move, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's a great point, too. I think 14-15 would be very rich for the Rook Twins. And I don't think there's many teams that are really game planning significantly to be like, we want both of them and we're willing to slide back to do it. I think if it works out, there are some teams that have multiple picks kind of in that mid-20s and then an early second-round pick for Marcus or something like that could work out. Calgary, Vancouver, they have those picks that would work. I think St. Louis is very active. I think they're going to look at ways to improve their team, but not in a short-term way, that they'll be looking at guys like a Nikishin, right? Like somebody who's in their mid-20s that you can bank on playing for you for a lot of years and improving still.
And the Leafs, of course, at the top of this draft, literally with the number one overall pick, but in a major state of transition and once again, actively, or I shouldn't say once again, still involved in the rumor mill based on their blue line. And Morgan Rielly said to be submitting four Western-based teams that he would consider going to, that Brandon Carlo's name remains out there, that Jake McCabe could be asked at some point to consider, you know, a move, even though he has full protection at this point in time.
Matthew Nyes,
that's the name that doesn't go away. This is an organization that just won the Calder Cup. So they've got some players that are pushing to be a part of the Maple Leafs next season. How do you think Toronto is going to dictate the narrative of this draft?
They're in a very interesting spot, right? Because they also don't have their first-round pick for the next couple of years. They have Austin Matthews, they have William Nylander. They can't gut it out there just because they have first overall. You know, I think everybody expects Morgan Rielly will move on, and that's going to be best for both parties. But I think it has to be kind of a quick turnaround for this team. And the fact that they're shopping Matthew Nyes, I think, speaks partly to how they view the player and the style that he plays. Is that his value might not ever be higher than it is right now because he still has that potential to be a dominant power forward. If you wait a couple of years and he doesn't actually turn into a dominant power forward, then obviously that bottom falls out a little bit. But at the same time, it's like, it's a seller's market. We're seeing it, right? Like, could you get a massive haul for a guy like Matthew Nyes that would really take your franchise a step forward right now? I think that's what they're looking at, because all roads are going to have to lead to keeping Austin Matthews happy and then having him and McKenna kind of run the next show.
A team that was kind of maybe involved in the Matthew Nyes trade deadline sweepstakes were the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
So we look at the Atlantic here in Buffalo, and you know, you have Florida that's taken steps forward, and they got Brady Tkachuk, and they were able to retain like a Lundell and those type of players. Toronto gets Radish. Buffalo makes the Byram trade, and that could be leading to more. Montreal is a team that, well, they better have to do something because they need a second line center. We saw that they added some piece last year. They have a Michael Hage that could be dangled out there. They have assets in the prospect rank. Do you think Montreal does something significant? You mentioned Elias Pettersson earlier.
Yeah.
There's rumors there that maybe Gallagher could go to Vancouver and then they could hang on to some salary. Retention-wise, like, what do you think Montreal does?
I think and this is just off gut, I think that they hang back a little bit. I think that they stay out of the fray a little bit, maybe especially around the draft. We'll see. We'll see if something falls into their lap. But again, you know, mentioning Elias Pettersson, I think that there are a number of teams that are looking at that asset and being like, this is a guy who put up 100 points once upon a time. Things have obviously not gone well the last couple seasons. But if Vancouver's willing to retain on him and with the way the cap is going, all of a sudden that $11 million cap hit, if you can drop that to $9 million, very palatable for a lot of organizations, including Montreal. And I think that he would be an excellent fit behind a guy like Nick Suzuki there. But again, I think that they have, they're doing things slowly. And I think that they're coming up quickly too, with a lot of young talent. You know, they have more coming as well too. You mentioned, you know, Michael Hage. I think they'll stay out of things unless something really, really tasty falls in their lap.
Cam Robinson from Elite Prospects is with us. We started the segment obviously talking about Buffalo's deal with Chicago last night that has them moving even further up in this year's draft, which starts Friday night here in Buffalo. Cam, what do you think Buffalo is looking at? Who do you think the Sabres are zeroing in at number four, should they keep the pick?
I think they're looking down the middle, which, you know, I know they have some young centers, obviously, in the organization, too. But when you're looking at number four, if we can just spitball this out a little bit here, right? If we go McKenna at one, I think at this point now with Eklund moving, it's Stenberg at number two. We can feel pretty confident about that. You know, the information we're getting out of Vancouver is once upon a time it was believed it was going to be Caleb Malhotra with a bullet. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's going to be Chase Reed. I think it's going to be Chase Reed at number three. So now you're sitting there at number four, and you've got an opportunity at Caleb Malhotra, who is likely the best center available. He has the size. He has the pedigree, the bloodlines, everything going for him. You also have Viggo Bjork sitting there, too, which he has a lot of helium this year. A little undersized at 5'9", but plays a hard, hard game. You know, he's not Zach Benson with, you know, to throw his body into everything, but he's very physical, gets underneath, excellent skill. Probably the smartest player in the draft. So those are two players I'm really keying in on for Buffalo if they sit at number four.
So you talk about Malhotra. You don't think that with hiring Manny Malhotra as the head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, they would be, like, I don't want to say fours, but they would be looking at getting his son into the fold, knowing that they draft right there where he's basically listed? Do you think they stay away from drafting the coach's son?
I think... I wonder, how about this? I wonder if the family feels it's better for Caleb to chart his own path. And not that it would be an issue to play for his dad, but it would always be kind of the discourse, you know, father, son, that would always be coming up. How was breakfast with dad, you know, coach? Like, you know, did you get in trouble for that, you know, that misplay the other night? Like, it would just constantly be coming up. And if he doesn't go there, and the fact that the tier that they're in, there's a number of players that could fit that. And Vancouver is supposed to be rebuilding long-term here. You don't need to strategically pick position right now. Right. So if he was clearly the best player available and then there was a big gap, it'd be like, well, sorry, son, you're coming to play in Vancouver because that's the best pick. But you have a guy like Chase Reed who is probably the best bet to be a number one defenseman in this class, 6'3" on the right side, something Vancouver and a number of teams could use. That I think that that's a pretty safe bet there, too.
Tell us more about Bjork, because obviously, you know, the leader here in Buffalo is Rasmus Dahlin, and we've definitely seen, like, with Noah Ostlund coming in and performing, I think, for some, above expectations at this stage of his career to carve out a good role with this team before injury, but more importantly, gain a ton of respect from the coach and the entire coaching staff. You can't help but wonder, like, if they don't feel a little bit more of a pull right now to something as gifted and as intelligent as what you're saying this prospect is out of Sweden.
Viggo's probably my favorite player in this entire class. Like, he is, and I've spent a good amount of time with him. I was over in Sweden earlier in the year and got to spend a lot of time with those Djurgården boys, with Frundell and Victor Eklund, and everybody raves about Viggo. The coaches, you know, the players, everybody. He's the youngest player on the team, and everybody says he's the smartest player on the team. I asked Anton Frundell, who's 6'2" and about 200 pounds, if he could steal one skill from one of his teammates, what would it be? And he said he wanted Viggo's strength. Wow. And, you know, for a 5'9" guy who's 180 pounds, I thought that was pretty telling. So he's highly skilled, but it's the brain that separates, is that he forces players into making decisions quicker than they need to, and then he explains.
Are there current comps in the NHL? Because, again, there's always, and that's the only thing I hate about this time of year, is because after this, like, I hate talking about size. Like, if you're good enough to be in the NHL, it really doesn't matter how, but this is a time where everyone tends to fixate on it. So, like, are there comps out there?
Currently, I wouldn't say there's a perfect comparable. You know, Marco Rossi gets brought up, but I think Rossi's, you know, a better skater, but less brain on him. You know, same with Braden Point. But a guy that I kind of keep coming back to is, like, Saku Koivu.
Wow.
You know, so if you go back.
What a great example, yeah, right? though, to put out there for people that don't know. Like, I mean, you know, like.
Man, did I hate playing against Sekou Kore.
But man, did he just.
Oh, but he was good.
And obviously, Mikko Koivu as well was so,
so
good.
Smart.
So smart. That's the thing. Like, mm-hmm. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That is just a, you know, for anybody that knows a little bit of the history of the game, that is a wonderful name to be at least in a sentence or paragraph with.
Yeah, and the thing with that comp is that if you go through his stats, his career stats, is that, you know, he doesn't have a bunch of 100-point seasons. Mm-hmm. But he would give up a little on the offensive zone to do everything else, right?
Yeah.
To win faceoff, to be defensively responsible, to facilitate and create for others, and so that's Vigo's game, is he makes everybody better.
Okay, I want to go back to the website Elite Prospect for a few minutes here, yep. just because there's a lot of people here, a lot of parents, like grandparents, kids, right? Youth hockey. And, you know, that platform is so valuable to be able to find out about high school kids, youth hockey kids, college, juniors, everything. So much so, like Ernie Clement with the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, oh, he has an Elite Prospect page. Like, yeah. You look at him, he scored, you know, 27 goals in 25 games in high school in Rochester or whatnot. Like, you guys have everything. How does it work to be able to get every single player that has played somewhat from 15 years old on and organize hockey? The Pee Wee tournament players, yeah. the Brick tournament players. How does it work to get all that database into the website?
Yeah, so obviously a mass amounts of partnerships through leagues and levels. And now with like online scorekeeping, it's much easier to get that data, to scrape it in there. I can't divulge exactly how they do it, yeah. frankly, because I don't know. And I think it's above my pay grade to even pretend to know. But you're absolutely right, is that, you know, we're talking about these guys, Vigo Bjork and Caleb Malhotra, is like, they don't necessarily need what the site brings, but all those kids that are one day, you know, hey, I want to go from high school and maybe play at D3 or yeah. Atcha hockey, or now I just finished my Division I career and I don't have opportunities, I want to go play in Europe. And so that's where the site really becomes beneficial for people too, is that especially if you're a premium subscriber, you have a little more control over your profile. It's kind of like your resume, right? So you're mm-hmm. like you're for hockey. It's so you can upload highlights of yourself and you can talk about what your strengths and your weaknesses are, and you can use it to find agents or to find recruiters and things like that too. So there's a lot more than just stats on there.
Well, I mean, I got Louis Crevier's page up on the website, and it says right underneath photos by Dan Hickling. And obviously, Dan, local guy. That takes pictures.
Divulge. Where do you think I got the hat?
I was wondering.
Okay, good. It's a very nice hat, Duffer. But I remember, like, okay, my son, you know, his name came up, and he had some stats, and he's like, I need to upload a good picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, a year later, his picture had changed. And it was now a Dan Hickling picture. It wasn't just a premium membership that got him to put his picture there. It was updated. Man, I think he lived on cloud nine for like weeks after like his picture had been updated and all of it. So, but do you guys hear that a lot from the community, going to tournaments and seeing the young players are like, hey, I got my page up.
Oh, it's massive. And so, like, my son's coming up through minor hockey right now, too. And they're starting, he turns 11 this summer. And so he's starting to hit that age where the kids are starting to recognize me and Elite Prospects as a logo. Yeah. And, like, you know, the company sponsored his rep team this year. And so we got it on the patches.
Oh,
we're traveling around. And we're like, Elite Prospects, you know. So it is really cool to see that. And, like, parents, too, right? You go to a rink wearing a hat like that, they're going to think you're a scout. They're going to come up to you and they're going to be like, hey, watch number 19, slip you a 20 maybe, you know, for the 12-year-old out there playing third line minutes. And you'll be like, yeah, I'll take an extra long look at him. So it is really cool to see that.
Well, Cam, amazingly, like at least eliteprospects.com, I've always loved the willingness to share under your banner the opinions of others. So, like, not only do you have mm-hmm. your consolidated ranking, and you've even got Cam's consensus top 32, but you include Central Scouting, you include Craig Button, you include Chris Peters and McKean's and the Hockey News and Flow Hockey and on and on and on. And so from that standpoint, that's what makes it really interesting for me at this time of year, because in a one-stop place, you can just constantly see maybe the little bit of difference of how everybody is viewing this year's class.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a community. It's like, we're not going to sit here and be like, we're the ones who know best, right? Like, here are a lot of really bright people that are doing the same work, and this is such an opinion-based job that we do. And so even in the NHL, right, like that Cam's consensus, that's 10 NHL teams provided me with their lists. And then that's a lot of smart people in those rooms. And the lists vary wildly, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just how you perceive a player, how you saw him that game, what you value. Is it speed? Is it smarts? Is it, you know, size? So having more opinions is only going to help people get a better gauge on
how,
what's going
on. How do you
on.
Feel about, what's our Swedish friend, Nordmark.
Nordmark.
How do you feel about him? Because everybody's got a range of opinions from he could be a top 10 to a fifth rounder. Like, where do you stand on it? Because we have to ask everybody that comes here about our friend Nordmark.
Marcus Nordmark. He's very, very skilled. He's very skilled in a class that I would say is lacking that kind of skill, especially once you get past, you know, the middle of the first round. Mm-hmm. And so I expect he's going to be a first round pick, if not very, very early on day two. He's a frustrating player, though. He's a frustrating player because he has so much skill, but he stays on the perimeter a little too much. And every now and again, he'll just hit the jets and he'll do like a power move, and he has a wicked release and he'll ring it off the pipe or something. So he has talent.
If the Sabres draft 4 and 20, maybe that's the guy to take a flyer on at 20 if you've already drafted 4. Who knows?
We got to go rapid fire here because we've missed a lot, but we've also learned a lot here. Yeah. And Marty, in conjunction with producer Sam, really loves getting into old tweets.
Yes, old tweets is a fun time. Mm.
So I'm going to absolve myself from any blame or feelings that you have about how this segment goes. But Marty, lead us in.
So you basically put out in February of 2016, I hope the NHL never gets the chance to use my text messages against me in a hearing. I've got some pretty incriminating things in there. Do you remember 10 years ago what that was all about?
Gosh, I'm not sure I remember 10 days ago. I mean, I've got three kids at home and not a lot of sleep. Yeah, yeah. Oh, boy. Don't put me in that boat. Yes. Apples and oranges,
you
fellas.
We're casting you in a very favorable light.
Yes,
trust
okay,
me.
Yes, yes, yes.
The least funny. Yes.
I do not have any recollection of making that tweet, but I mean, some of the group chats with the boys, sharing information, talking about things, you know, spitball and stuff. It's like you want to.
I'm guilty of that, too,
right? You want to, and you got to trust the guys that you're sharing it with too, right?
But this is a question because of texts and tweets like this and whatnot. Do you use like WhatsApp or some other? Because I know a lot of GMs, a lot of insiders don't like to have their text message basically like...
How about this for foreshadowing? Yes. And this is why Cam is on our draft coverage on Friday night. The Sabres are going to be an absolute wagon soon. And did you notice the wagon in front of the building?
Did you go see the wagon?
I saw the wagon. Was that for me? Was that specifically because of that tweet?
Was a new find this year, and it's been such a popular thing. But we're looking at you in 2023. That's, you know, 3 years ago, yeah, saying they were going to be a wagon.
Yeah.
And now they are a wagon.
I mean, you stockpile picks and you make good picks, you're going to do well, right? And that's exactly what they're doing. And now they've got Jarmo there, who is hyper-aggressive. And I think he's good. Yeah, I think, you know, I've you know, talked to people who've worked with Jarmo. I had one guy say that, you know, he would run through a wall for Jarmo Kekalainen, and that he's the best leader that he's ever worked for, and he's worked for a number of GMs. And so I think he's going to make some good use of all those young players that he has and really build something special.
What a week it has been building up to the draft, which is still 48 hours plus away. It happens here in Buffalo, round one, on Friday night. Cam is going to be with us in studio to react to the Sabres' first round selections, potentially.
Yeah, or all of a sudden, because I'm not going to be there Friday, I got my daughter's high school graduation, but all of a sudden there's more work. It used to be 27th at about like 9:30. Now it was 20th at about 9 o'clock, and now it's like, you may be on for 3 hours, Duffer.
It's going to be amazing. Cam, this was a great introduction to your work and your time here in the studio. Thank you for today. We'll see you on Friday.
Fantastic. Yeah. That was awesome.
Cam Robinson from Elite Prospects. As we get closer to the draft, we're still thinking about, you know, the season that was and the season to come and how you can latch on to a piece of team history. You can bid on game-worn home and away jerseys from this past 25-26 campaign. Proceeds benefit the Sabres Foundation, and the auction will close on June the 28th at 9 p.m. So get your bids in now at sabres.com/auction. We're back after this on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, winding things down here on Wednesday. It's hard to keep track of the days because everything is so frantic across the league right now. And we're already looking ahead to this next 26-27 season where you can create unforgettable game nights for 10 or more group ticketing experiences, save on box office pricing, exclusive experiences like photos on center ice, post-game slap shots, Sabres access, much more. Go to sabres.com/groups for more information. We kicked things off today on the heels of a massive deal last night between the Sabres and the Hawks by exploring through our Sabres Live Twitter poll, what should the Sabres do with their first round picks? Keep and use both number 4 and 20, draft 4, trade 20, trade 4, draft 20, trade both 4 and 20.
Most people want to draft the number 4, which, I mean, the buzz in the building would be incredible Friday night. The Sabres walking up to the table, number 4, drafting a high pick, and then trade the number 20. So then later in the draft, have Mr. Gary Bettman, the commissioner, come out and say, we have a trade to announce. The Sabres have traded the number 20 along with so for something. Well, that's kind of like what the people are wanting right now.
100% they are. And again, so much activity on the trade front yesterday. How much more will happen between now and the opening of the draft on Friday night. Time for D&D.
Dazzled and
disturbed.
D&D has been draft and deal lately across the NHL, but of course the World Cup is ongoing, and sometimes you see things that are, I don't know. I dare say unprecedented, because I'm sure many have tried this over the course of time, but
not successfully.
Cheers to this Dutch soccer fan,
dude,
who grabbed beers for 26 of his buddies at a pub in Scotland. And when I say grabbed beers, he literally wrapped his arms around 26 beers and took them from the bar to the table.
They're not small ones either. They're 26 pints that he's grabbed, and they're all locked in. Now, grabbing them may be the easy part. Dropping them on the table and not spilling any one of them? That's incredible. What an achievement. This guy deserves a big tip. That's another thing. European fans coming in and learning how to tip in the U.S. and Canada and Mexico has been weird. This guy deserves all the tip in the world, although he was just in Scotland.
We're going to hear from Jarmo Kekäläinen, Sabres general manager, in his press conference at 1 p.m., so mere moments away. Sabres.com, Sabres social. What do you expect from Jarmo right now?
I think that we should expect a confident general manager talking to the media about the trade, and that I think he's going to leave that little carrot out there saying there's more to be coming, right? We're exploring every option. We are looking at what we're doing with 4, with 20, with 45 now that they have a second round pick, with the salary cap room that they have. I think he's going to let the fans know that he's not done. That's what I'm expecting to hear from Jarmo.
And again, if people missed anything from earlier today, what is your hunch? What do you think
my
is
hunch
now going
is
to
that Alex Tuch is going to market. I know they got cap space or whatever, but he would be nuts to leave some of the money that he will be getting from some of the teams that will be aggressive on July 1. So I think Alex Tuch is going to go to market. I think the Sabres, what I think my hunch would be is that they'll use the number 4 pick and other pieces to maybe go after a Connor Hellebuyck type, player, goalie, or whatnot. Look, it's not going to be Vasilevskiy or Shesterkin or Ottinger or Swayman or whatnot. Bobrovsky could be a free agent pickup. Maybe that's the way to go. But I think that there's a real market right now that's developing for Connor Hellebuyck, and I think the Sabres would be in those conversations.
Again, the Sabres are at just over $21 million in cap space. A lot of attention still needs to be paid, presumably, to Benson and Krebs and Malenstein and whatever else they are looking at. There are 16 teams that are at $20 million or more in cap space. Mm-hmm. And then there are the 7, like Anaheim, Columbus, Chicago, Detroit, Philly, Pittsburgh, and San Jose, that are all north of $29 million. Some in around the $40 million range. The Sharks have $46 million in cap space. It's crazy. Happy birthday to former Sabre, Uwe Krupp, who eventually scored a Stanley Cup winning goal with Colorado, but was a fine, fine player and drafted and developed by this Sabres organization.
Fine human being. Oh. So Uwe Krupp played in Quebec City a little bit, and then they moved to Colorado. When he won the Cup in Colorado, he loved Quebec City so much that he came back with the Cup. He used to race and do the husky, the dog racing, yep, and all of that through Quebec City, through mm-hmm. the mountains. Amazing human being.
Thurman Thomas will take Marty's place tomorrow. In studio here tomorrow. Can't wait for that, as it's a special time in Buffalo. Highmark Stadium opened yesterday. The draft is here, yes, at KeyBank Center on Friday. Thurman gives his insight to his involvement. And Darren Dreger with, yes, his final Zoom appearance of the year on Sabres Live tomorrow.